where we may see some legislative needs regarding in the way we perform audits. Today, when a department is audited and is part of the consolidated financial statements at the end of each year, the reality is department agency can get a clean opinion on an audit but still have tens of billions of dollars of improper payments because the audit that is done today is not focused on that aspect. And so when I sponsored legislation several years back that became law regarding the Department of Homeland Security, when it was being stood up, we thought it was very important that it be, one, fall under the Chief Financial Officers Act, but also we wanted them to get a start with good bedrock internal controls. So we required an audit of their internal controls to really get them on a good track going forward. And what we've seen is by having to do that type of internal control audit, they really have made tremendous progress in addressing some of the material weaknesses facing that department. What we may need to do legislatively is look at the audit requirements we have and either revise or complement what's already being done with auditing requirements that are focused more on internal controls and really how we guard against improper payments being made. So, you know, we're going to work closely with Daniel Werfel and OMB and my colleagues on both sides of the aisle with the subcommittee who are very interested in this issue and see what legislation may be needed and then work in a bipartisan way with the administration to try to shepherd it through the Congress.
And speaking of all those different tools, obviously there's several remaining challenges. You addressed some of them in terms of the audits and including improper payments as part of internal controls. Give me a sense of what's coming next from your subcommittee. Give me a sense of what some of the big challenges are, any hearings, any GAO reports we should be on the lookout for.
The discussion and the focus on internal control audits and what, if any, changes we want to make legislatively and how we require departments and agencies to perform audits and what type of audits. That's certainly going to be a big part of our discussions going forward. We also are going to have a hearing coming up shortly with the Department of Homeland Security and how they have been working to reduce their material weaknesses. And, you know, although they don't have a clean opinion yet, they've made some tremendous progress in identifying some of their biggest challenges, some of their biggest material weakness issues. So, you know, that's an example of, you know, here's a major department, significant expenditures, that has used the internal control audit approach to identify problems, and now they're moving forward with how to fix those problems. Is that serve as a good model for other departments and agencies to follow, or some variation of what they've done? So a lot of things that will be coming through the pipeline. And, you know, our focus as a subcommittee is really to do our best to not just make the federal government accountable, but transparent and proactive in protecting American people's the funds that they send to Washington.
OMB released some guidance on the Improper Payments Elimination and Recovery Act just last week, I think right before your hearing, in fact. And they also detail some other steps during the hearing of what they're doing to try to recover some of those improper payments. Give me your assessment of what you heard at the hearing. What more could they be doing?
I was very encouraged by what we heard at the hearing, and I thought we had a great discussion. My colleagues on both sides of the aisle with our OMB and GAO witnesses, and so we heard a number of, I think, legitimate success stories with the Medicare fee-for-service program, that the improper payments, the rate of improper payments has dropped from, I think it was about 12.5% to just over 10%. Well, when you're talking about a program that spends billions of dollars, that 2% reduction in improper payments is a huge sum of the American people's money. DFAS, the Defense Finance Accounting Service, in their use of technology to better identify errors or problems up front before the improper payments are being made. And then, you know, I think with Danny Werfel's testimony, the kind of looking to learn from the lessons of the Recovery Act Accountability and Transparency Board and how they're using technology and really kind of learning from the private sector. And this was part of our discussion at the hearing that, you know, when it comes to credit cards, Discover, Visa, MasterCard, you know, they've used technology in an amazing way to identify what are possible fraudulent charges and where a red flag goes up. And I use example of if my wife and I make a charge that is out of the ordinary of our, you know, typical monthly spending, you know, record or habits, we get a text and a phone call saying, hey, a certain amount was just charged. to your card, if that is inaccurate, not a charge you made, please contact us immediately. So the private sector has really kind of been leading this effort. And what we're seeing now, and we heard at the hearing, is the efforts of the federal government to, you know, kind of learn from the efforts of the private sector how to use technology that we have today to really be proactive in preventing improper payments, not just how do we identify and recover improper payments. So I was very encouraged by the testimony we heard, and doesn't mean the work is done. There's still plenty of effort that's required in moving forward. Some of it, we believe, will be some legislative efforts to strengthen the ability of OMB to really make sure all the departments and agencies are on board using good faith efforts and due diligence to prevent improper payments. But I think we're heading in the right direction.